Amen. I want to bring to you guys this morning a prophecy. I know when we had the transition between me taking over the church for Pastor Bill, from Pastor Bill Page, who is the founding father of this church, and our father figure and our papa. We remember him, we honor him, we respect his legacy, we pray for him. He is like the Moses. And now, when I was in PNG when I went up there, I went up there for one reason actually, and just confirmed why I'm in this situation right now. This is for myself as your pastor, because I remember I did Moses on God. I remember I didn't even want the responsibility. I wasn't qualified for the job. Well, you know what God says? If you're feeling insignificant right now, I want to be the first to congratulate you and tell you that you are the greatest candidate for God's purpose. Amen? And so I had to seek his face. I had to ask God, God, is this really me? I was like now. And I know what now is like now. And I remember I said, Are you sure you're speaking to the right person? Are you talking to the man of valor here? I did Gideon on God. I did Jonah on God first. And then finally I said, God, I am not going to do this job unless you're in it. And when I said that, something happened to me, because I confessed with my heart and my mouth that, God, I am not qualified for this job. You know, when you say things like that, get ready, because God is going to say, perfect. You are the perfect candidate for this job. Because God doesn't want you to think that you're going to run this job on your own strength. It is by his grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit and by his vision that you and I can do anything in God. I am but just like you, a vessel, but I chose to put my hand up. Hallelujah. And when I did, God says, good, now I can use you. Hallelujah. And I want to share with you, I'm going to read out a vision that was spoken in my life. And I had to actually, when I got back from Kalgoorlie for the Will Graham Crusade, we saw thousands come to the Lord. It was an amazing time. Will Graham is so much like his grandfather, Billy Graham. Speaks like his grandfather. Has just the same, something about him. The anointing and the presence that's upon him is just like his grandfather. And we had a wonderful time together, serving together on that stage in Kalgoorlie. And when I came back, I received a prophecy I was actually wanting to receive this, because it was spoken to me, but then it was written and emailed to me. And I got fired up and excited. And I shared this with the music team this morning, and I shared this with the prayer team in the morning on Saturday. And so I'm going to read with you this prophecy. That prophecy alone fired me up. It says, men of God, a great sense of God has dawned in PNG and is breaking at the grassroots level and spending fast. God is using insignificant men and women to create a significant move that will climax into the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the nations of the earth. God is using people that you and I will never, never in our faintest idea of mind think that they can do anything in the kingdom of God. These are the people that God's going to use. You and I will be very surprised of who God's going to be using. Amen? This revival is happening within the heart of men, and the shift is inside, making it difficult for the enemy to predict or comprehend. This allows you and I to have an upper hand against the enemy. There is also a restraining order. This is the spirit. There is a restraining order put on the enemy according to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. There will be peace, but the enemy will be at peace by his order from heaven. God will also open the armory of God, the heaven. Jeremiah 50, verse 25, equipping the saints with everything needed for the kingdom, advancing all that is needed to execute and bring about his will is going to be available for me and you. Hallelujah. This is for the church. This is a prophecy to me, but it's for the church as well. So receive this. God will raise strategic men and women who will be able to devise a winning plan to carry out about his will. the accuracy of the and the precision of a prophetic flow will be released to this set of men and women so we can be able to buy back time and fulfill God's purpose. Amen? The church must take a new role. The Spirit of truth has to be given full access to the church so it can walk in the light of truth, exposing and bringing into light this dark world. Darkness is the absence of light, therefore leaving the church vulnerable to deception and inaccurate doctrine and depleting the power and the purity of the church of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. 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 God is building a church. In this church, meaning it doesn't stay the same, but it is going from glory to glory, strength to strength. His church is an advancing church to the gateway, and it's a gateway to heaven. Hallelujah. And he says, in the last days, men of God, God will birth inside you a move that will change the face of ministry. I believe that. I truly believe that. And I'm going to stand on this prophecy. And I want you, church, to stand on this prophecy. This is not just for me. This is for the church. Prophecies are given not for one person. It's for the church. If I'm the pastor and the leader of this church, then the buck stops here and I'll take the full brunt of everything. Hallelujah. But I want the church to stand with me in this. Amen. I'm excited. Get excited. See what's happening to this man. He was a quiet guy. You can never get a peep and squeak out of him. I'm shocked. But you know, I'm not shocked. I knew something has happened in his life. So I said, you better get up here and say something to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. There's more like that sitting amongst this church here. This morning, hallelujah. My message is about, I had to go back and study two people in the Bible. And the names were Moses and Joshua. And today I'm going to speak a little bit about Moses and Joshua. You know, God never used complicated strategy to win back the earth. But just the father and the son relationship. When the church raises up sons to take over from the fathers, then something is happening. You know that the church is healthy. When the fathers grab onto something and doesn't want to release to the children or to the sons, then the church can't grow. First, there has to be a release in the spirit. And God never uses anybody except the sons and daughters inside the house that he has grown and planted and bear fruit inside the church. Amen? Inside the house itself. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See, the nature of God and sonship allows us to call God Abba, which is Father. So you and I can say Father God because he's given us the right to do so. And we carry the sonship mentality, not the congregation mentality. Amen? And I'll get to that later. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery that returns you to fear, but you received the Spirit of God, a spirit of sonship, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen? Everybody say amen. That's a good place to say amen. Hallelujah. Sons are loyal and take heed to instructions. Congregation mindset, memor, and complain. Which side are you on? The sonship side or the congregation side? Amen. Congregation side are full of complaints and memory. People were complaining to Moses, why did you get us out of Egypt? We had our comfort zone. We had Centrelink. We had everything given to us. Everything was provided for us. We had a job, a house over our heads, and now you've taken us out into the desert, and they complain and murmur. And God says, I have had enough of this stiff-necked people. God calls them stiff-necked. Hallelujah. It's a very scary thing when God calls you a stiff-necked people. Hallelujah. Sons are loyal to all cost. Whatever we say as sons and daughters of the house is law. Whatever we do is according to what God's purpose for us, and we execute it without question. We don't question God's word. We don't question God's word. When God says, do this, we do it. God says, be holy, for I am holy. It's not for it's not for you to go and discuss it and have a board meeting about it and discuss it with each other. It's a law. It's an instruction. In the Son is the power to overcome death and sin. The Joshua generation is not about the young. This is what we need to understand. Everybody's saying, oh, it's a young generation of Joshua's. Let me remind you, the Joshua generation is not about the young. It's about people with faith. It's about people that sees giants as grasshoppers. It's about people that sees mountains as foothills. It's about faith. It's about changing your mentality, hallelujah. We must be trained to hear and hear till faith really, really takes action in our hearts. To me, Moses is not a person. To me, Moses is a symbol of freedom. Hallelujah. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King was a symbol of freedom for the black American slaves and the movement in America. There was all these amazing men that was like Moses, that had the spirit of Moses that took people out of slavery and brought them into freedom. Jesus Christ on the cross is the symbol of our freedom from sin. Salvation, when you look at the cross, it reminds you. And Moses reminds me of freedom every time I look at him. Hallelujah. You know, Moses is never a freedom fighter. Moses was a deliverer. There's a difference. Moses was a deliverer. He wasn't a freedom fighter. He was chosen to deliver the Israelites from Pharaoh's grasp of slavery. Moses did not set the people free. This is the key. Moses did not set the people free. Hallelujah. The deliverer simply means someone who takes him out of slavery and leaves him in the desert. Why? Because God had to deal with the slavery mentality that the people still had. People were out of Egypt, but there are still slaves inside their mindset. People are still walking around with the pyramid. Some of them crossed Jordan still carrying the pyramid. And that's a very important thing for you and I. Because I was sharing with everybody this morning and on Saturday, I said, I feel like I'm standing right now at the river's edge of Jordan. I'm about to cross the Jordan River. Hallelujah. The real issue wasn't the delivery of the people. The real issue was delivering them from the mindset. And Moses had to bring them, God had to bring them out of the comfort zone of the Centrelink payments, of the whatever thing that they were, the social security or whatever that they've been living on, brought it out into the desert. And he says, now, before you cross the Jordan into the promised land, let's deal with some stuff. Let's deal with your slavery mentality, because there's nothing like a free man still carrying a slave mentality. There's no more thing dangerous than a free man physically set free, chains off, move out, and still carrying the mentality that he's still a slave. Hallelujah. And some of us are like that. And God's trying to break this thing before we cross the Jordan. God's trying to break that slavery mentality. We are still mentally damaged. You know, the oppressor Satan is still around. He hasn't left. He's still here. Still doing his job. We are set free from him, but we are still caught up in the damaged mentality of the slavery that we've lived in for all these years. Amen? When you get set free by the blood of Jesus, you're set free. But sometimes, that's why sanctification is a process to get you out of that mentality. That slave thinking, that woe is me thinking, oh, I'm relying too much on this. You know, sometimes God's going to move you out of your comfort zone. God can't operate and do his work in you unless he moves you out of the comfort zone. Amen? And he cannot go through you unless he goes through your faith. God never does anything on this planet without going through you and I, our faith. And the Bible says he has given everyone, each one, a measure of faith. You and I are walking around with a measure of faith. But the real issue is, are we going to let that faith grow? Are we going to allow it to grow, or are we going to stay like that? You know, God's got a plan and purpose. Every person sitting in this building today, hallelujah. If you've got a vision, then don't sit on the vision. Work on it. Hallelujah. That's why the people complain, why did you take us out of our comfort zone? If your faith is to grow in God's kingdom, then he has to take you out of your comfort zone. Amen? And so the deliverer will physically set you free. It takes the chains off, releases you, and takes you out. But the mentality is still there. The slave mentality. That's why we have problems in the world today. People are set free, but they still carry the same mentality. And the problems in the church is always like that. The church is full of people with slave mentality. Hallelujah. We need to break away from that slave mentality. We need to break away from the congregation mentality of complaining and murmuring and groaning and get into the sonship mentality. That's where God says, now I can use you because you're thinking like a son and not like a congregation or a slave. Hallelujah. King Solomon made a statement and he says in Ecclesiastes 10:16, woe to you, O land, when your king is a slave, or when your king, in other translations, when your king is a child. The words woe means the land is in trouble. Because the king that you actually appointed to rule you has got a slave mentality mindset or a child mentality mindset. In PNG we call it baby sense. We have a saying for people that have that fully grown but still carry the baby sense. Everything that they do is a baby sense. That's quite a word, eh? Think about it. You've grown, but you're still a baby sense. PNG, they come up with all sorts of things, all sorts of sayings. Sometimes I can't keep up with the pidgin language there anymore. It's changed. Nothing is worse than a powerful slave because the mentality hasn't changed. Amen? Are you with me? So wearing a crown doesn't change your mind. It exposes it. This is why we need the period in deliverance to try and change the mentality. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says, be transformed. Be transformed. You're saved. Released, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but be transformed. The battle is always in your mind. And by transforming your mind, then faith steps in. Your faith increases and grows. And you can start to see giants like grasshoppers and mountains like foothills. You can see red sea and say, I can walk through that. That's not a problem. Hallelujah. But like I said last week, faith too understands the obstacle. But faith doesn't go around the obstacle. Faith overcomes the obstacle. That's the kind of mindset that Joshua wanted before they crossed the Jordan. Hallelujah. The modern church is full of people who have been delivered but still carry the slave mentality. That is probably why God kept the people in the desert for 40 years. One generation. God says, I am not going to let you in there because why? You haven't changed your mind. You are still carrying the same mindset. So I need to make sure that whoever is going to cross over to Jordan has to be cleansed from this mindset. And he kept them for 40 years, a whole generation. Kept them there until they all perished in the desert and released something that God wanted, and which is the next Joshua generation. And that was the generation that Joshua took across. Hallelujah. Church, your faith can die. Your faith can die in the desert if you don't put work into it. If you don't work on your faith, it will die. If you don't get yourself out of places that's been crippling your faith, then it will die. Your faith will die. You will die in the desert like everybody else with your faith. And the people and the Joshua generation will cross over to get what is promised to them. Amen? James chapter 12, verse 14 to 26, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So also by faith itself, it does not have works, is dead. Very strong statement. It says faith that doesn't have works is dead. It's a dead faith. What is the key word here? Work. The works. Work on your faith. One thing I've learned about this church, and I'm so blessed and so proud and excited about the vision of our father, Pastor Bill, Papa Bill. He's a visionary. And this church, if you ask anybody in town, there's no other church doing what we're doing here. I'm not saying this to be proud or to be hitting my chest. I'm just saying that vision makes us stand out from every other person, because the government does all this kind of stuff. We don't. Everything that we do in this church comes from the two white baskets that are collected every Sunday. That's the two baskets that funds everything that we do in this church. Every ministry that you see in this church is funded by the two white baskets. And it is your giving. You are the people that give because you see a vision. People will give when they see a vision, a physical vision. People will give when they see something practical happening inside a church. Am I correct? Amen. I will. I will give if I see something practical happening in church. And I will support it. You know why? Because I believe that I want to be part and parcel of this ministry. Amen? And we stand out. And I hear this news all the way to Brisbane. And as far as Kalgoorlie, would you believe? We heard about your church. Oh, really? You know, I met some amazing, crazy pastors that when you look at them, you would never, never think they would be pastors. These are bikie gangs and Harley Davidson who are pastoring churches right now. You know, these are musicians that are playing in blues bands that are actually pastoring Baptist Church in Kalgoorlie. I'm like, thank you, God. You're showing the generation that's going to work with me. And I got excited. You know what? Every one of them says, we want to come to your church. We heard something's happening up there. I said, good. We'll let you know. And the good news is Steve Grace is moving up, Paul. Hey! Steve is moving up after August because he's going to Nashville to record his album, and then he's going to come back. And he wants to take me to Nashville, but I said, I better not. I better ask the church first. I can come to Nashville, but I need someone to look after the church. But what I'm saying, Steve's coming up after August, and he'll be basing himself here with us and ministering with us up the Cape. And he's excited, him and Kerry excited. They send their love. They're really excited. And I told him the church is good. Church is healthy. Church is growing. Church is moving on. Hallelujah. And I'm not even involved in it. It's God. Hallelujah. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith. My works. By my works. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Whoa, very strong statement. Enough to shake you in the core, hallelujah. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Hallelujah. Your faith has to go hand in hand with the works. Because you can have that faith and die with that faith in the desert if you don't put some action into it and make it move. Hallelujah. That's what faith is. God's given us, each and every one of us, a faith. But if you have a vision, don't talk about the vision until the cows come home. Put some work into it. Get it going. Get it moving. If you want to serve in the church, in a ministry in the church, come and see me. God has given you a gift in yourself. You're sitting in the church, you have a gift. And God wants to use it. But if you sit on it for the whole day and the whole year and forever, then that's it. That's all you have, a vision. But until you put some work into it, God says, work. Get that vision going. Get it moving. Hallelujah. That's how you cross the Jordan. You can sit here and be like everybody else and say, oh, I see the promised land. It's very nice, but There's a lot of grasshoppers over there. I mean, giants. You know, change your mindset. Start thinking, God, I know there's giants out there. You know, I like Caleb. When they move there, Caleb says, I was here 40 years ago. Now everybody move out. You can take all the flat land. Give me that mountain. Hallelujah. That's Caleb. Caleb says, I am tired of you faithless people because I came in here 40 years ago. I saw this place. I went back moving around with you guys for 40 years in the desert. Now you're all dead and gone. Let me hit that mountain. That's the kind of faith that moves the church forward. Hallelujah. You may be sitting in your seat right now thinking, I'm so insignificant right now. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to say. What is my gift? Everybody keeps asking this. What is my gift? Everybody, church, everybody was born with a gift. There was none of you sitting in this room right now do not have a purpose or a gift. Everyone has a gift. God is a God of creation. He said, I'm not going to create somebody in my own image and be dumb. No, I am going to give him everything that he needs, equip him with everything that he needs so that he can function and move and fully live his purpose on this planet. Before you and I die, we need to die empty. Leave everything that he has buried in us. Every one of you is pregnant with something. And when you carry that thing, before you die, I promise you, you need to leave it on this planet. Leave it. So people can look at you and go, that's your legacy. Moses did that. We understand Moses. We respect Moses. We respect Pastor Bill. We understand the vision that he has given us. We celebrate his legacy. But you need to leave something behind too. That's your legacy. The people can say, oh, there. That's Joy. That's Jenny. That's Emma. That's Simon. Every one of you has a gift. And we need to leave it inside before we go. We're not going to carry it back with us to heaven. God gave you something to leave behind. Hallelujah. Moses finished his work. Paul says, I am finished. I've been poured out like a drink offering. I'm empty. Now I'm ready to go. That's what you and I have to have. When you're ready to leave this earth, lying on your deathbed, saying, God, I'm ready to come home. I've done your work. I have finished the race. I've started and I've finished it. Amen. Hallelujah. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? And when she received the messengers and sent them out the other way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Hallelujah. Strong statement. But it's there for a purpose. It's there to stir us up and make us think. Hallelujah. So God kept them long enough in the desert to take something out of them, which is the next generation. And it was the generation of Joshua. Hallelujah. Joshua. Now I'm going to talk about Joshua. Joshua had a glimpse of the freedom. He saw it. And if you read the transition between Moses and Joshua, there are two different books. There's the book of Deuteronomy and there's the book of Joshua. Amen? The last book that Moses wrote was called what? Deuteronomy. The last chapter on the book is chapter 34, verse 5. And Moses said, well, it wasn't the last chapter, but it was one of the chapters in the last part of the book. It says, and God says, listen to this, and Moses died, and the last few verses said, and Moses was dead. And Joshua became the leader of the people. Moses laid hands on Joshua, presented him to the people, and then he went back to the mountain and never came back. God never allowed the people to find Moses' grave. Why? You think about this. Because God didn't want people to worship Moses. God didn't want the people to dwell in the past so much that they forget to raise Joshua up. Hallelujah. So the last thing that was in the book of Moses is that he died. And when he turned the page, the next book is what? Joshua. And here's the amazing thing. Here's the thing that really amazes me. God said, Moses is dead. The book of Deuteronomy, ends where God says to the people, Moses is dead. When you turn the page, the first chapter of the book, which is the next generation, God repeats himself to Joshua and says, again, Moses is dead. I believe that the first statement that God made when he said Moses is dead and raised Joshua up, the first statement was saying that a physical human being has died. But when he went to Joshua and he says, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. You know, to me, that statement means that there's a whole era and a generation gone. He said, Joshua, you are the new generation. That generation has died. That second statement of God was a very, very important statement to Joshua. It means that that generation is gone. The era has passed. Hallelujah. And you and I need to think like that. Whatever that's been in the past, it's gone. You can never go back and correct anything in the past. But you have all the power to change your future. You have all the power to change where you're going. You have all the power. See, everything is right in your hands before the future. It's in your hands right now. But the past is gone because you can never go back and fix it up. That's why God says, do not dwell on the past. It's gone. When you sin, God says, I've forgiven you, but I've thrown your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. God is not, What do you call the people that forget? Forget Phil Jones in the cartoons. Amnesia. God is not like that. He chose to forget. God chose to forget you and I's sin. And he threw it inside that sea of forgetfulness where he can never go back. And when you keep bringing it back, God says, I've forgotten about it. Why are you bringing it up? Hallelujah. Leave everything in the past that's gone. If you've been having some problems with some people, forgive them, release them, and move on. Move forward. Get over it. Don't go around it. Get over it. That's a saying. People say, get over it. Yeah, get over it. We have a saying in this church, suck it up, princess. Sorry, mama. And it's true. God says, I have forgotten everything. You don't have to bring it back to me. Hallelujah. So you and I have the future in our hands. That's what God says to Joshua. Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And that's a prophetic statement he made to Joshua. He says, that's gone. Now, you are the generation. You are the new generation. You're going to take these people that have been totally transformed in their mindset and cross Jordan. Hallelujah. You know, between the Red Sea and the River Jordan is where the transformation happens. The mindset changes. And before God could take him across, God says, first, let's do some cleaning up here. And Joshua is very important. He is the one that brings the people into freedom. This is where the people began to be free from memory of history, free from the reproach of history. They began to take on the sense of their own dignity, values, self-worth, self-esteem. They became mentally free to the point where they believe nothing is impossible. They're free to believe that giants are grasshoppers. They're free to see that mountains are foothills. They're free to see that there's a Red Sea there, but they can see a path through it. That's the mentality. I am standing right now at the River Jordan. And I told the team today, I said, I'm standing right now. This prophecy and these things that are happening is confirming a lot of things to me. I said, God, what are you doing to me? What are you doing? And I have to go back and seek his face all the time. And sometimes by grace, God gives me some stuff. You know, and I praise the God, forgive me, I have not spent time with you, but by grace, you're still giving me stuff because you've appointed me. And I realized that it wasn't the man appointment. It was a spiritual, godly, heavenly appointment. That's why when God appoints you, he will still, in the midst of your downfall and shortcomings, he will still, by his grace, give you stuff. He will still walk with you. He says, no, I have chosen you and I will walk with you all the way through. Until I raise up another Joshua. Hallelujah. The next phase of the church is very important. It's to be managed by Joshuas. The next phase of our church is going to be managed by Joshuas. People with that spirit of freedom in their minds. Amen? Before we move forward and cross, we need to understand that whatever that's in the past, whatever that's blocking you from achieving something in life, get rid of it. Put some work into it. If it's not been moving, then move it. Hallelujah. Joshua says to the people in Joshua 24, verse 14, he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." What God is saying is serving, what gods are you serving? Sorry. This is a question that you and I can ask ourselves. Sometimes we serve gods that are blocking us from achieving our true calling in God. You may be in a place right now where you're not achieving anything because you're not in the place where you're supposed to be. You know, that question is for you to answer. That question is for you and God only. Ask God, "God, am I in the right place? Have you got something for me?" Obviously, absolutely, God has something for you. But to move you out, you need to understand that He cannot move you unless you get up and move yourself. God is a gentleman. God will never force you to do anything. He will always come through your will. And we've talked about the will to choose from right, from wrong. He will always use your will. The only place where the enemy attacks is your will. The devil doesn't force you to do anything. What he does, he tempts you. They both deal with your will. The Spirit of God doesn't do anything, force you to do anything. He convicts. He deals with your will. Same thing. And so your life is in your hands, church. It is in your hands. Every decision that you make is in your hands. It's not in anybody's hands but your hands. You make the choice. You make the right choice. You'll be on the right path. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 15. "But if serving God seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day to whom you will serve." And he made one of the most amazing statements in the last paragraph of the scripture. And he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Hallelujah. That's where you and I need to be found. That we must serve the Lord. Both Moses and Joshua were faced with what? Water problems. Moses at the Red Sea, Joshua at the Jordan River. Moses had a staff, he had a wood, a piece of stick. And God confirmed the miracle upon Moses that this is the man that's going to take you guys out of slavery into freedom. But because of the complaining, groaning, and moaning, God raised Joshua up. But Moses and Joshua had two different things that are very different from them. The same God that went with Moses went with Joshua. But he will never repeat the same miracles that he did with Moses. He did everything absolutely different with Joshua. Hallelujah. Same obstacles, same objective. We're going to reach that objective. But how we're going to get there is going to be different. I'm going to do to you differently from how I used Moses. So never expect anything to be the same. Be ready for changes. If changes come, you know that God is taking us in a different direction. Same objective. We're still going to reach the same objective. But the direction and how we do things is going to be different. Hallelujah. Amen. The same God that was with Moses is still with Joshua. The same God that was with Moses and Joshua is still with us. Same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The very same God. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses had an experience. Joshua, the difference is Moses had experience. Joshua didn't. Joshua had a vision. You know, when Joshua crossed over, the first person he saw was a military man. And that is a very significant symbol. That's why God doesn't look at experience. You know, God looked at me and said, "You do." He says, "Yep, you don't know how to run a church. You don't know anything about church. Perfect candidate." You know, I did. I am stuck here right now because of what God is doing. And stuck in a good way. I am excited about where I'm stuck. You know? And He never uses experienced people. You know what? Because people with experience will always fall back on their experience, and God doesn't want that. God says, "Gideon, I'm going to create an army. Keep moving those people until I know that there's enough people to take out the fight. Because then you will know that I am God that's going to fight the battle for you." You're not going to win this battle on your own and on your own strength, but because I am God. Hallelujah. You know, God totally changed my perspective when I said, I cannot do this job. When I confessed it with my mouth, it was like a faith statement. It was true. And God says, good, now let's get to work. Hallelujah. And you are like that. You see, this is not happening just to your pastor. It's happening to you. Wherever you are now, in business, in family, in your job, wherever you are, say to God, God, I can't do this. I cannot do this. And when you say that, you've confessed that you cannot. And then he steps in and does it for you. Because God will not step in if you think you know everything. If you think you're, oh, I know how to do this, I know how to do that. God says, fine, I'll step behind and watch you. That's God. The same God of Moses, the same God of Joshua. Hallelujah. The methods are always different. Joshua did cross the water, but he walked in the water first. Moses crossed on dry land. Joshua had to walk through the water. And as he did, the water started to go down. It's very significant because when Joshua saw this man across the river and he was dressed in a military suit or armor, it signifies one thing. And God is saying this. This is Moses, he said, Joshua, the manna. And the Bible says, when Joshua crossed, the manna stopped. All the miracles, all the provision, everything from Sandy Lake stopped when Joshua crossed. And when he's on the other side, he saw this military man. God is saying, now, with this new generation, you are going to fight for everything that I've given you. I promised you this land, but to get it, you need to fight for it. He says, this generation is not going to sit around and wait for manna to fall from the heaven. This generation is not going to sit down and worry about Centrelink. This generation is going to get up and find a job. Oh, hallelujah. This generation is going to make gardens. He says, Joshua, everything that you're going to eat, you're going to grow. Everything, every steak that you're going to have, you're going to raise the cattle. Everything that you're going to do, you're going to work for it. He says, and then you will fight to protect it. You know, the Bible says, live and consider your salvation with fear and trembling, which means that don't take your salvation lightly, because the enemy will always be at your door. The Bible says the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. If you live loosely and live comfortably and think, oh yeah, I'm saved, watch out, because the enemy will always come for you. And that's what Joshua said. God says, Joshua, you're going to fight to protect the promised land that I've given you. There's no more receiving manna from heaven. Everything stopped when he crossed. Hallelujah. It's exciting. It's exciting to know that there is a generation of Joshua in the church. Because that's the generation that will take the church across the Jordan River to the promised land. Whatever that God has planned and purpose for this church will be achieved when people started to get clear mental, physical and spiritual vision of where we're going, of what we're doing. Hallelujah. And it starts with the church and then with your life as well. Amen. I'm going to close now. Final point. Another important key about Joshua and Moses. The Bible says when Joshua crossed, the manna stopped. That was the thing that I was talking about. So everything that you have, there's talent inside of you that you need to protect. Jesus said, do not throw your pearls to the dogs, which means don't share your vision with people that are going to grab hold of it and destroy it. Share it with people that will go, you can do this. Share it with people that have faith, that will stand with you and go, yeah, you know what, you can do this. I'm with you in prayer. Let's do this together. Let's get up and do this together. Hallelujah. You know, I feel God's about to shift the house. Because I'm one Saturday morning in prayer, I was standing here and I said, I am at the crossroads. Not the crossroads, sorry. I'm at the crossing right now and I'm ready to cross the River Jordan. That's me as your pastor. I'm ready to cross. The question is, will the people come with me? Will the people cross with me? Will the Joshua generation cross with me? Are the people seeing the vision? Are you seeing something? Is God speaking to you? You are called in this place for a purpose. not for pew warming and sitting down warming chairs and having a wonderful Sunday morning service, going back home. That's good too, because we come to worship and serve and praise God together. But beyond that, what has God has for you? What are you going to leave behind as a legacy that people will see and go, wow, that was Rudy. That was Maureen. That was Judith. That was Carl. There's Alan. Your legacy. What are you going to leave behind? That's the key. I want to rally everybody that Saturday morning prayer is very important for us. One day in your life, in your week, come for 1 hour, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Come and pray with us here. When we pray together as a corporate church and as a church, God speaks and confirms everything with people. Amen. Not just a pastor. I'm just like you. The only difference is I've got the staff. I've got the stick. That's the only difference. But I'm still like you. And I need your prayers. When you're praying, pray for us. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our community. Pray for everybody that's involved in ministry. Pray for your family. See, if the enemy, when it comes, will never, ever get to you because he knows that you're strong. But the enemy will always go around. The people that are closest to you will become your enemy. Not because they want to, because the enemy is going to use it. So guard your hearts. When we cross Jordan, there's going to be battles. There's going to be Jerichos to take down. See, God showed Jericho. Jericho was a stronghold, but he says, there's a man standing here in a military armor. He says, everything that you do now is going to be military. You've got to have a military mindset to take on the enemy. Hallelujah. Want to change the world? You want to change the city? Then have a military Joshua mindset. That's how it's going to happen. Amen? I encourage you as a church to come. Pray with us. If you can't, then pray at home. But be here. It's great when you come and pray together. 1 hour. You know, I always say the prayer meetings are not left for little old ladies that are praying. There's no such thing as intercessors in the Bible. Everybody is an intercessor. Everybody is a prayer warrior. Everybody. There's not a little group of ministry of people praying. Never was in the Bible. Everybody. Hallelujah. When you're praying at your own time, pray for what God has planned and purpose for you. When you hear, pray for what God has planned and purpose for the church and the direction of the church. Pray for the ministries. Pray for the Sunday school. Amen. And when we cross Jordan together, I'll know that we are all together. Hallelujah. It's exciting. I'm excited because I know there's a shift in the spiritual realm. Something is happening. I don't just get prophecies like this. This is the first prophecy that has come to me. And it's so confirming and so powerful for myself. And I thought, God, I know what you're doing now. So what I'm going to do is believe that you're doing this. And I'm going to stand with you. And I'm going to obey. And I'm just going to, you know, obeying God is the best thing. We just obey him. Whatever he does, he knows everything. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and I want the leaders in the church to come and pray with me out here. If you feel in your heart that God is calling you for something, whether it's just a little nudge or it was a vision or a dream or something, God speaks to everybody. Every one of you was born for a purpose. Everybody. I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for clarity. We're going to pray for clarity in the vision that God has given you. We're going to pray for your family. If God has given you something, if you feel you want, if you're stuck in the mentality of slavery, then come. You're set free, saved by the blood of Jesus, on your way to heaven, but you're still carrying the slave mentality, come. The slavery mentality has to be delivered from your mindset. Get a clean mindset of what God has purposed for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I have the music team, please? Oh, you're here. I was late. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on. You were born for a purpose, every one of you. You were not born to be stuck in the street drinking alcohol and taking drugs. That's not your destiny. God never purposed you to have that kind of lifestyle. That is not your lifestyle. I don't care where you were born. You're coming from your place where you're born doesn't matter. It's why you were born. Why are you born? You were not born to just die and not leave anything behind. You were born for a purpose. You were born to leave a legacy behind. You were born for something. Nobody was born for an accident. There is no accident. God never creates accidents. There's never an accident in your life. Your life is precious to God. He purposed it. Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. That means that your spirit was with God. He knew you, created you, purposed you, and then placed you inside your mother's womb to have that earthly body that you become you. You have a purpose. Come on. Come. We're going to pray. I want the leaders to come out. Paul, come. Come on, Tim. Lay hands on Jackie. Joy, come. Lands on the people. We're going to pray for them. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God. Father, today I pray, Lord, I come against this slavery mentality in the spirit and the mindset of your people, God. Father, I thank you, God, but these are the people, oh God, that you have purposed and planned. Your word says that you knew them before they were even in the mother's womb, God. You said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you were born for something. Jeremiah 1:10 says that, Lord, you have given us authority, O God, to uproot, destroy, and to rebuild. Father, this morning, we uproot and destroy everything that has been hindering the lives and the mindset of your people, O God. And Father, we replant and rebuild, O God, everything that you have purposed, according to your purpose, according to your will, according to your word, O God. Father, I release that by the power of the Holy Spirit right now upon your people. I thank you, God, for clear mindset. I thank you, God, that no more slavery mentality, O God, that your people are set free from that slavery mentality. Father, they're setting foot and stepping up front, O God, by faith, O God, so that you can release, O God, everything that is hindering them. Father, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, the same spirit of Joshua and the same spirit of Moses is still upon your people. These very people that are standing here right now, and those that have not come up, that are standing inside and sitting in the seats, oh God. Lord, you know them all. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I release that right now. Release that right now. Let there be an open heaven above their house. Let there be an open heaven above their families. Let there be an open heaven, oh God, above their workplace. Let there be an open heaven, oh God, above their family and their household, oh God. I thank you, God. Your word says that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. And every tongue that raises against them, Lord God, you shall condemn. Father, I thank you, God. Thank you right now. Lord, let your Holy Spirit come. Let your Holy Spirit flow, Lord, upon your people. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fall afresh on these people. Fall afresh on your people. Fall afresh on your people. Let there be refreshing, oh God, in their mindsets today. Father, every drug addiction, every alcohol addiction, every pornography addiction, everything that has been, Lord, hindering their lives even before they crossed the Jordan. Lord, we leave it right now in the desert before we cross, oh God. I thank you, God, that everything is left where it's supposed to be, in the wilderness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.